I really love the fact that here in Maine, we have high quality, high caliber people trying to make sure that we keep our athletes in shape and also keep the people of Maine in shape so that we're able to go out and enjoy healthy, active lives. And two such individuals who are participating in this are Jared Buzzle, who is the physical therapy manager at the OA Performance Center, and Stan Schofield, who is the manager of the Parisi Speed School, also in the OA Performance Center. And I know you're going to tell me a little bit about what the OA Performance Center and the OA Sports Center really are all about. So thanks for coming in and talking to me today. And let's start with you, Stan. Tell me what it is that you do and what is the OA Performance Center?
So the OA Performance Center was actually created as a way for OA Centers for Orthopedics to really round out the sports medicine continuum. OA Centers for Orthopedics, as you may or may not know, we are a one-stop shop when it comes to orthopedics and sports medicine. We have the ability to, you know, if you need orthopedic care, we have physicians for that. If you need surgery, we have that. We have casting, bracing, MRI. We have sports physical therapy. But one of the things that we are lacking was a way to prevent those injuries from happening, as well as a way to really help athletes reach the next level. So a few years back, we decided, hey, let's open up this sports center to really address some of the injury prevention needs, some of the youth obesity problem going on, and a way to really bring athletes to a higher level. So I actually run the performance part of that center.
Jared, what do you do over at the OA Sports Center?
I am the manager of the physical therapy center within the sports complex. We see a wide gamut of patients from, you know, the very young 5, 6, 7 year old athletes just getting into sports, all the way through adults. And you know, it's not just your typical what you think of an athlete as. You know, we're seeing the high caliber college professional athletes, but we're also seeing kind of the everyday walker that just, you know, wants to get out there, wants to pick their grandchild up, and you know, may have a sore shoulder and can't do that. So we want to run a broad gamut of clientele that we see, and so I manage the staff there. We have 6 therapists within that building. I also have stay pretty involved in treating as well within the building.
You both come at athletic performance from a slightly different angle. Stan, you have a background as an athletic trainer, and Jared, you have a background in physical therapy. What are the differences between those two fields, and what are the similarities?
Physical therapy and athletic trainers work very closely together in the profession. In the state of Maine, physical therapists typically are the ones that will, in a clinic type setting, do the evaluation and kind of set the treatment plan. Whereas athletic trainers, you know, they can be very well versed in evaluative techniques, can carry out those treatment plans. And a lot of times the athletic trainers are more kind of the first responders with injury. They may be on the field dealing with that initial injury and whatnot.
Yeah, the best way I describe it is usually athletic trainer like myself, I deal with everything from emergency on-field management of an injury to the prevention of injury to assessments where I'm going to help them weave them through kind of the medical system. Who do you need to see for a physician if you need to see one? Help coordinate the rehabilitation all the way to preventing the injury, maybe some nutrition, all the way up to performance aspect. You know, and the physical therapists, they're more specialized. Hey, when somebody needs some specialized rehabilitation, that's where they're the expert. So I'm a little bit more of a broad spectrum, but these guys are really dive down into, hey, here's what they need to do to get back from their injury.
Stan, you've worked not only with the University of Southern Maine, but also with the Boston Red Sox organization. And now you've come back to something which I think is more of the common person. What sort of prompted that decision to go back to really be more, in the weeds with this?
Well, like you said, I've worked at a number of different levels. I've worked from the professional athlete all the way to collegiate, all the way to the high school setting. And, you know, one thing I've realized over the years being an athletic trainer is, you know, obviously getting into it, I really enjoy helping people. You know, and while the professional athlete, you know, that everybody sees that, hey, that's the really sexy thing to do, the most rewarding thing is actually just working with your everyday common athlete. Some conversations I've had with different parents, I think one of the biggest gifts that you can give somebody is to help their child, you know, either overcome an injury or actually take them from somebody who's not really that great of an athlete to all of a sudden that kid's going from riding the bench to now they're making varsity, you know, and just the feeling and the reward you get from seeing them accomplish that, that's what makes me happy. And that's why I think I've really kind of gone into, you know, the field and in this performance center.
I'm reading this article about you, Jared, and about the Centers for Orthopedics, and that was written by Sophie Nelson. It's in the current issue of Maine Magazine, so people who are listening who haven't read it, they'll have to pick it up. But it also quotes you, Stan, and it says, "The Performance Center's motto is brandished on the wall over the track, surrounded by blown-up photographs of professional athletes with connections to OA. Speed is a skill, it reads, disclaiming the popular belief that a person is simply naturally fast or naturally slow. Both Buzzell and the Performance Center's manager, Stanley Schofield, emphasize OA's effort to recruit young athletes to help develop good mechanics early and to do their part to stem the tide of childhood obesity. Schofield says, I tell a kid, how about I make you way faster, way stronger, and teach you how to jump higher? The approach is refreshing, a challenge rather than a warning." What I'm getting out of this is that you really are trying to come back to the joy of participating and the joy of pushing oneself as an individual to go faster, to go higher, and not necessarily make it about the winning. How do you do that?
I think it comes down to it's simply the message. I mean, you're trying to challenge these kids, but really, ultimately, what you're trying to do, really the message you want to give these kids is, you know, when you jump higher, when you run faster, when you cut and you have more agility, how does that make you feel? You know, at the end of the day, most people, hey, that makes me feel great. And that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, you know, the whole reason why you do exercise and play in sports is to make who feel good? Yourself. So, you know, that's why, you know, I think ultimately that's our message, you know, what we're trying to get across and why we make it so fun down at the Performance Center.
Jared, you've actually had to work through some of your own personal injuries in dealing with as part of your running, and you're also a triathlete. What's that been like for you?
It gives you a good appreciation of kind of what your patients, you know, from the other end of it, what your patients are going through. And so you can understand how, you know, when you're injured and when you're sidelined, kind of not being able to participate, you know, in the activity that you really like to do, how that, you know, really affects kind of your attitude and everything else, and why you know, we really place a high emphasis with our clinicians on skill and getting our patients back to sport as soon as possible. The longer you're out of that activity you like to do, it really has an impact on you know, on your health, on your you know, kind of mental health as well. So you know, we're trying to get people back out as quick as we can.
What are some of the types of things that you see people coming to the center with? So some of the types of injuries that are most common, and especially in the summertime?
It definitely can be seasonal. We're just coming out of winter now, and we have our rush of knee injuries from skiing. It's a pretty popular time where folks, you know, in that spring skiing, that kind of heavy mashed potato snow, they may injure a knee, may have that surgery. So now we're kind of seeing a lot of those folks. As summer's approaching, I'm seeing a ton of running and cycling injuries. One of the things that I've kind of gravitated towards, just because of my own personal interest, is running mechanics, and do a lot of running assessments on not only the athletes that are injured, but athletes that just want to improve their running performance. Same thing with cycling. I've done a lot of continuing education and have certifications in fitting people to bicycles. So I'm seeing a lot of that right now as we're getting into those seasons. We have another gentleman in our clinic. He is a big golfer, and he's gone on and done continuing education and gotten certifications in assessing golf swing. So this is also a really popular time for golf injuries as the season is starting up. And same thing, he also does assessments for folks that, you know, just want to improve their golf swing or may want to prevent an injury. So we kind of have those subspecialties throughout the organization. Injuries definitely are seasonal. Come fall, we'll see a lot of foot and ankle injuries just from people wearing flip-flops all summer long and whatnot. So,
and I would say, you know, we all see it on our side, see a ton of baseball injuries. Yeah. You know, this is our time of year where, you know, the kids that don't have the great mechanics, you know, they're starting to break down. So, you know, that's another program that we have at our facility is, you know, unlike a lot of facilities, they may just treat the shoulder, you know, and they'll do some ultrasound and massage and maybe a few exercises. But we know that unless you treat the actual sport, like what they're doing biomechanically, you know, they're just going to come back to you down the road with the same issue. You know, so what we're really good at is we can assess throwing mechanics, tell you exactly, here's what's going on with your throwing mechanics. This is why it's causing your injury. But more importantly, we can correct that and show you how to throw correctly and so that injury doesn't come back. So this is our time of year where we see, you know, a slew of athletes, whether it's baseball or softball.
Well, Stan, I'm really glad you brought that up because my son, who graduated from Yarmouth High School a couple of years ago, he was one of their top pitchers. He was a lefty. And by the end of his career, he had a shoulder injury, he had an elbow injury, and we were very proactive about bringing him in for injury prevention, management, biomechanics. But what we found that was the most helpful is by the end of his Little League career, they had actually instituted a pitch count. Is this something that you're seeing more and more, that they're being more proactive about trying to keep kids from getting injured with repetitive injuries or other types of things that happen because we just are pushing kids a little bit too far, a little bit too young?
We're definitely doing that. There's no doubt about it. I mean, regardless of sport, they're really, you know, the emphasis now is trying to get that 10,000 hours that everybody's talking about. And, you know, that, while, you know, sounds good in theory, you know, it leads to us to a bunch of health problems. Yeah, you're seeing a lot of overuse injuries, and you see it, while the pitch count is good, you know, not everybody necessarily falls it, or they may not be falling it till the kids are a little bit older, but we know the time frame where that really happens. You got to be careful with that is, you know, when they're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, like, those kids quickly, you know, you have them thrown out there, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 pitches, which I've seen, you know, that's way too much, way too soon for these kids and their development. So, you know, the pitch count helps, but you know, I'd like to see it, you know, implemented at a little bit younger age.
I think, just to interject a little bit, one of the things that's unique about Parisi Speed School and the way Stan and his gang treats or trains athletes is, and it's not as much of a specific skill approach to the sport, but kind of a a movement efficiency, if you will. So, you know,
I'd say what differentiates us from, you know, a lot of other sports, as you read earlier, hey, speed's a skill. What we try to get across to parents and athletes is, you know, regardless of your sport, you know, it's one thing just to be practicing the skill of the sport, whether you're dribbling a soccer ball or basketball or, you know, throwing a baseball. What ultimately really makes you a great athlete is, you know, how great a runner are you? You know, how good can you cut? How good can you jump and land? And how much strength do you have? What's your endurance like? What's your flexibility like? What we say is that's your foundation of it as an athlete. And that's what makes you a great athlete. It makes the skill component of your sport way easier. So that's what we work on at our school. And really for us, that's the injury prevention part that we speak about, you know, and why we brought this program on for OA Centers for Orthopedics, of really trying to help prevent those injuries. So
what would you offer as tips for people who are listening in terms of creating lifelong wellness when it comes to physical activity? Because I know that, you know, you may start as a little leaguer and then you're in your over 40 soccer league. And then by the time you're in your 60s, things have changed. You know, when you're looking to just stay healthy and well and whole all of your life, what are some of the things that you try to suggest to people who come to see you?
Most importantly, you know, make sure it's fun. You know, make sure you, and try different activities, you know, just don't get stuck in just running, you know, hey, maybe go try a bike or maybe go try weightlifting or try a different class. Keep it exciting and stimulating. And that's what's going to help keep you more consistent with training. You know, that's some of the biggest advice that I give to parents and some of the older athletes we deal with.
I think setting goals is very important too. So if you have that carrot that maybe, you know, maybe it's a race, maybe it's you want to get in shape for a certain event or whatnot, but to have that carrot on the calendar that, okay, you know, this is why I'm doing this. I want to get, you know, I want to be able to run this fast in this local 5K or whatever. It doesn't even need to be, you know, a race event. But to have those fitness goals, I think it's very important to in keeping folks going and staying healthy.
And what would you offer to parents as far as perspective when it comes to this, let's start the kids early, let's get them in on their, you know, this Malcolm Gladwell's idea of having to have 10,000 hours to be amazing by the time you're 20. What can you offer as perspective?
I would say, you know, when it, you know, that book, that that book is kind of double-edged sword, you know, I like to say, because while that book says one thing, a lot of the evidence, if you really read into the research, actually contradicts that, you know. And one of the things that I say to parents, like, you know, for every Tiger Woods you see out there, there's 100 kids that didn't make that, that are really upset with their parents, that they actually pushed them and drove them and made them do all those golf lessons, or, you know, really pushed them to stay with one sport, you know, and they're totally burned out by the time they're 16, 17 years old, and they want nothing to do with it. So be very careful with that. Make sure you allow these kids, expose them to different sports. We know from the research that some of the best athletes, and if you remember when you were growing up, some of the best athletes in your school, they weren't just great at one sport. They were great at two or three sports. Let's not forget, hey, Tom Brady was a great football player, but he was at Michigan State for a baseball scholarship too. You know, Michael Jordan, not just a great basketball player, good golfer, and played a little baseball. So remember, when it comes to being a great athlete, just don't specialize in a singular sport too early, because you'll burn those kids out.
It's interesting to me that we have the OA Performance Center and the Sports Center here in Saco, Maine. I mean, we're really interested in helping people perform at the highest level possible, and whether that's as an athlete or whether just as an individual. Why is this so important to have this here in Maine?
I think location, kind of where we, when we looked around and kind of saw where there was a need for this, location really worked. And in regards to OA's mission, you know, our home office here is here in Portland on Sewell Street, where we have, you know, we have physical therapy, we have physician services, we have surgery center, MRI, X-ray, all that. And then we've tried to really reach out. So Saco was our first satellite clinic, basically. And as Stan mentioned earlier, this is where we really wanted to encompass that performance aspect that we're missing. And having it there lets us reach out to athletes kind of in the southern Maine area, still get the athletes from the greater Portland area. We have athletes that come up from New Hampshire to train at the center. We've even seen some folks travel from New Hampshire, Massachusetts to have physical therapy with us. So it lets us reach out to kind of those athletes or that population. We've also since opened sites in Windham and in Brunswick. We don't have that performance model at those sites, but same thing. Our goal was to kind of reach to the south, reach to the west, reach to the north, so that you know, it would make it easier access for folks that get injured and need help.
And I think the other reason why you see that in Maine, going back to the injury prevention piece, I mean, we recognized early on at OA that, you know, there's a huge need for these services, and I can just kind of give you story after story, you know, and Jared can too, of, you know, you see these kids and they're not just playing one sport, they're playing two, three, sometimes four sports, but they're not doing anything to prepare for those sports. And we know out there, it's over 3.5 million sports-related injuries per year, 75% of which are non-contact, which means they're preventable. But there was nothing, no opportunity like that out there in this area. And we wanted a way to attack that because, you know, at the end of the day, if you're an orthopedic surgeon, and I can tell you, like, quick story, there's a girl that we treated, high-level soccer player, you know, and high-level basketball player, being recruited Division I on both levels. Girl, junior year, she goes out and she tears her ACL on the basketball court. She rehabs, but the whole reason why she got hurt was she didn't have the ability to stop or understand how to stop and decelerate properly. Well, she rehabs, comes back, goes into the soccer season, team's doing great, team's undefeated. They get into the semifinals, they're up, they're winning 2-0. Lo and behold, she cuts, goes down, blows her ACL a second time, team loses, you know, and now you're the physician, you have her on your table, you've just read the MRI, and now you've got to tell her, hey, guess what? Now you got to do it again. And this time it's going to be even harder for an injury that's totally preventable. We saw case and after case after case about that. We wanted a way to have something to do about it. And that's the real reason, one of the main reasons why we built that center, you know, in Saco, because we knew there was a need.
Well, I appreciate all that you're doing as the mother of three children who do three seasons worth of sports and one who's in college now and has made it through in a healthy way, and also as a runner myself. I know how important it is that this prevention aspect and the high performance aspect is being brought to the state of Maine. So we've been speaking with Jared Buzzell, who is the physical therapy manager at the OA Performance Center, and Stan Schofield, who is the manager of the Parisi Speed School at the OA Performance Center. Thank you so much for all the work you're doing and for coming in and talking to us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.